swinger
trailer
park.
Right. It's called Trey Boys Swinger Trailer Park. And then the motto is bring your house and share your spouse.
Soldier Boy Tell.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. We are back after a few weeks of hiatus to talk some LSU sports, mainly LSU football. I know baseball's gotten a lot of news lately with coaches hired and players transferring, and we'll get to all that, but not on this episode. This is going to be very football centric. And I am joined tonight by guests. That is plural, guests, two of them.
What? You don't have guests.
Oh, well, I do tonight. Our first guest, as you just heard, is one of the OGs, the godfather of the Dome Patrol Network or the Dome Patrol podcast. Please welcome Jason to the show. Jason, how are you doing? Welcome to the Tiger's Den.
I'm doing well. I'm glad to walk through the living room and into the den tonight.
Pull up a chair next to the fire, pour yourself a drink, and
had a margarita with dinner, and now I'm drinking a little cocktail. So I got a nice little three right now. It feels good. You know, football season's around the corner, so that's when I really, really start getting into LSU sports. I'm excited for a nice rebound season from the boys this year.
We definitely need a rebound season. And also joining us from, should I say, formerly of the BSN Beer podcast? No, still current member of the BSN Beer Condors. It is Wesley from the BSN Beer podcast. Wes, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me. Excited to talk some LSU. It's kind of last season the way it ended, and then we went into basketball and all. I honestly have taken a little time off from too much LSU. It's good to now we just talked about. I'm kind of excited about this football season more than maybe the NFL season right now.
And you know, NFL's kicking off pretty soon. You know, we're talking what, 37 days, I believe, till kickoff. If my math serves me. So September 4th, UCLA. I did see that UCLA is going to be serving beer and wine during the game. So, and they're stopping by the third quarter, I think, for the LSU game. They'll probably be out by halftime.
Maybe. I was going to say, they're definitely not going to have enough supply. There's no way. Yeah, there's no way.
They will drink that town dry. And there's a lot of folks that I've seen that are going to be traveling to that game, God willing, with COVID and whatnot. So... but we'll get to that in a bit. I wanted to start off kind of with, I guess, the big news that's been going around, not just LSU, but the SEC in general, and that's OU and Texas making the move, coming to the SEC. Actually, today, the presidents and chancellors voted unanimously to extend membership invitations to Oklahoma and Texas to join the SEC effective July 1st, 2025, with competition to begin in all sports for the 2025-2026 academic year. That's going to be a big jump for those teams.
It's kind of a big deal.
It is definitely kind of a big deal. I hope they're ready to be at the bottom of the leagues.
Texas. I mean, I guess, look, for the SEC, it's fine. I mean, you're already the strongest conference. Now you're even more strong. But I don't know that I like what this is going to do to college football as a whole. Like, college football is kind of fun because it can be quirky. You've got different pockets. You're different conferences. I know everybody likes to, back in the BCS era, you really kind of had to brag for conference superiority because they were only pulling two teams. But now, especially after they announced the new playoff format, where it was going to be, you know, all the major conference champions plus a bunch of at-larges. Like, to me, it seemed like it was going to be a nice way to get a lot of teams involved. And it's kind of fun to have your different little areas, your different pockets, your different styles of football. But I think this is going to start a real domino effect of base. Like, I think you're going to see other teams and other conferences try to match what the SEC is going to do. You may have the Pac-10 and Big Ten maybe consolidate the best teams. Look, the SEC is still going to be superior, but you're going to lose a lot of the different, I don't know, aspects that made college football a lot different. And to me, this is almost going to be like more of a junior NFL with just two or three just super conferences. I mean, the NFL has the AFC and the NFC. We might have the SEC and whatever merges from the rest. So I don't know overall at the end of the day if that's necessarily a good thing. I kind of don't like it.
What do you think, Wes?
I think it's going to – I like it. I think it helps recruiting. I don't see Louisiana and Alabama players all of a sudden going to OU, but I think that Oklahoma players and – I mean, we've already – LSU's done well in Texas for a few years, but I think it's going to increase that even more. I like what we're leading to. I think that I'm interested to see how it divides up with the pods and how the schedules are going to move around.
Right.
I mean, you're adding a Texas and OU, and there's years that you're going to play like less Vanderbilt and South Carolina. So, I mean, I think it makes the schedule somewhat harder, but a lot more fun. And then we're talking about the SEC. I think they came out this last week or so. They're talking about they're going to be a lot more competitive with the outside of the conference teams that they're allowing teams to play and all. So that's not going to be so lopsided. We've seen that with Alabama a lot. Obviously, they have a tough SEC schedule, but they will put some cupcakes on their schedule. I think the SEC is going to control that a lot more. I'm interested to see how it goes. I think it's I don't know what the ACC's response can be. I mean, is it go get TCU and Oklahoma State or Texas Tech? I mean, I agree with you, Jason. They're going to have some sort of response, but what is there? I mean, I'm not sure. And as much as we hate or I don't think Texas is very good, they have one of the top three recruiting classes every single year. Now,
and every single year they win
every
seven
single
games.
Now, and again, they're terrible, but there is something to be said. They are getting highly ranked 4-star and 5-star football recruits. So it'll be interesting to see what they bring. I like it.
Do you think that, you know, there was some kind of rumor or something where they had said that possibly they might reach out to like SEC might reach out to like Michigan or Ohio State and have some kind of like big 20 team conference. Do you see that happening or do you see it more? This is probably going to be it for the SEC for a while. Anyway,
I mean, I don't know. They're getting so strong. I mean, you know, you kind of like, well, no, I don't really see that, but really you in 5 years, you kind of could to where if the SEC continues to get so big, teams are going, you know, you can bring in more teams. It's all about the money. Like the SEC could be bigger than the NCAA itself in terms of football.
Yeah. And, you know, it'd be interesting too, to see how it affects the other sports. I'm guessing it'll probably bring more money into the SEC. I don't know if there's any kind of revenue split with other teams or anything as far as like SEC network. I mean, you could get, you know, ESPN could, you know, they could, I don't know, sell it to ESPN for more money or whatever because you're having more teams.
I mean, you could, like, what about, because Texas has their own network. How does that, do they still keep all that, but they get to broadcast Texas versus all these SEC teams now?
Yeah, I guarantee you that's going to be something with the way that's combined. And, I mean, they've had the Longhorn Network for a long time. That was the first of its kind. I think that was the Longhorn Network before the SEC network.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think they started that. I mean, it went from, there was ESPN and Fox Sports and then Longhorn Network. It was, so they were real, I mean, way ahead of all that, and they've kept it and maintained it. There's got to be some money in there. And I mean, these guys are paying, was it $76, $78 million to leave the SEC or to leave the Big 12. There's some money there. And,
they know, like, there's more money to be made. This whole thing is about money. That's the thing. If you look at it, it's like, well, why would Texas and Oklahoma leave? Like, Texas can't even win the Big 12. Oklahoma gets a free ride into the playoffs every year. And now you're coming into this conference where Like Oklahoma's going to lose two or three games a year. That's just the way it's going to go.
I think that they've both been pretty frustrated though with not being able to have like a true Big 12 title game and some of the different things that have happened there. And I think that they've probably been frustrated. This conversation probably started a couple years ago and just got more serious in the last year. But these guys have been upset for a while about how some of the conversations have gone between Big 12 presidents and that when the last, was it Nebraska and Missouri left, something like that?
Yeah. Nebraska went to the Big Ten. Missouri came here.
And they were pretty upset all the way back. And then A&M left too. That was the big one.
Yeah.
They were pretty upset back then with the way that the conference was kind of falling apart. And I'm sure that there was some rough feelings that they never got over.
I wonder if they're going to add a game maybe to the schedule and eventually take away the SEC championship game.
Well, I guess we pull them in, so then we'll have 16. And I know there's been mention of a pod system. So is it not going to be like the two divisions of eight? Is it just going to be pods? It's like one big conference and we just play pods and no, there's so much money in the championship game. That's why it's hard for me to think they're ever going to get rid of that. There's a lot of money with that. So is it going to be two divisions, but the divisions play? Like, I don't know. I guess that's a big question. Like, how's
going to have to rotate some kind of way?
Well, and so when they come in, like, does Alabama get shifted to the east where they belong?
I'm pretty sure they're going to make it to where anybody can make the title game regardless of what pod they're in and all. Like, two teams from the same pod won't make it because somebody else will have a tiebreaker. But I think that they're going to probably eliminate the divisions and who you have to play. Also, you're talking about money. I read a USA Today guy saying that he thinks that the new SEC will generate $1.3 billion a year, which is around what the entire NCAA generates.
You say they're going to be bigger than the
yeah, it looks like that's, if you want to know why Texas and Oklahoma are going, that's why.
It's money.
It's all money. It's all money. And it'll be interesting for a while. But this is going to force the rest of the college landscape to drastically change and adapt.
To be fair, we're also, I know, just getting stuck on football. This is basketball, baseball. I mean, this is a big deal. And Texas and Oklahoma have entire athletic departments that do great at basketball. They're going to fit in the basketball realm. They're going to fit in the track and field and gymnastics and stuff like that. So I didn't even think about that for a second. We're kind of getting stuck on football. This is a much bigger thing than that. And they are going to be very competitive with other sports. And there's a lot of money in those sports as well.
Mm-hmm. Baseball too, at least Texas, has usually good baseball team. Yeah. It'll definitely resonate throughout all their sports. And that's kind of where I was talking about the money as far as will it help bring along maybe some other lesser known sports for all of the SEC schools, like your gymnastics or beach volleyball, soccer, things like that. I'm wondering if that'll generate more money for those sports as well.
I mean, when you're going to have more money coming in through the football departments that pay for everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that the NIL deal might have had anything to do with maybe them wanting to leave as well, where you get more notoriety being in the SEC?
It's interesting timing for sure. And when you're going and you're recruiting somebody and you're talking about the Big 12 that has blank many teams and you can't do this and this is falling apart and, you go to Lubbock and play Texas Tech, there's got to be a conversation with that. They are going to get – as good of players as they get, there's going to be money involved in that. And again, when those players make that money, it helps the university's recruiting. Like, they don't get them a portion of the money, but that stuff matters to them. So I think that it's definitely interesting timing happen at the same time.
Yeah, and definitely it's going to be a recruiting tool. We have such and such an athlete who's making – X amount of dollars, doing this for the NIL, you could do that too, come to our school kind of thing.
Well, and then we've got Bryce Young, who's 13 of 22 in his, Alabama career for 156 yards. He's thrown one touchdown. He has made over $800,000 already. They said he, if he wanted to sign everything they've offered him, he could have signed for over $1 million. He hasn't done any local deals in Tuscaloosa, and he's made over 800 grand. And he's, I mean, again, he's 13 of 22 as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, no telling what happens if he plays, you know, one game. And I mean,
right.
It's just, it's,
I mean, look, that speaks to the reason why the SEC has continued to be the best conference, just because we funnel the most money. We care a lot more about college football.
Yeah.
We'll funnel the money to them. However it happens, we'll funnel the money.
And if you look at LSU specifically, like when that NIL deal first started, I mean, we had literally video billboards in Times Square promoting LSU NIL. I mean, there's a freshman, well, she's going to be a sophomore gymnast, who Olivia Dunn, who's going to be, could make over $1 million. I mean, she's got like 3 million TikTok followers, and you know, the presence on social media is going to be huge.
Get her on the show next week.
Yeah.
I wish. No.
What if we offer $10 of NIL money? We got it, right?
Hey, maybe so. All right. So, yeah, definitely a big deal with OU and Texas coming. Let's get more specific into LSU and football. Just had the SEC media day. Was that last week? You know, all the coaches and players did their traditional, you know, a lot of it's BS and smoke blowing and whatnot. But as far as LSU goes, I mean, obviously the big question coming into the season is who's going to be the quarterback. You know, do you go with Miles Brennan, who has been here for a long time, been in the system, coming off an injury? I say been in the system, you know, they're planning on running basically Joe Brady's offense, which he ran, you know, when Burrow was here, but he is coming off an injury. And then you have Max Johnson, who is a bit more mobile, more of a dual threat quarterback, which obviously has advantages as well. I don't know. How do y'all see this playing out? Is it going to be split? Is it going to be, what do you think?
I don't think it's going to be split at all. I can't see Orgeron doing that.
If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. It's a bad, bad move.
And we just haven't seen it. I think he's going to make a decision and stick with it. I personally, after the way Brennan started the year last year, with the team that we have and how the program has to rebound this year, we can't just look at like, okay, we've got a good recruiting class and these guys are young and next year's here. You can't waste the year in college football. So I think that Brennan gives us the best chance. The way he started last year was great. Looking back at the numbers, I've looked at him a couple times where I've forgotten how great he was playing. He was,
yeah. I mean, he was on pace to get close to Burrow numbers, basically.
Really close. Really close. I mean, he was definitely, he was leading college in passing for a while. And, I think you have to go with Brennan. He impressed me last year. The year before, I wasn't sure what we were going to get out of him. He looks amazing. I think that you've got to give him a chance.
Yeah, he didn't do it. He didn't do anything to lose the job. And as much as I liked what
Max Johnson.
I want to say Thompson. Yeah, what Max did last year, and I think, you know, you can see like Orgeron didn't want to not give it to him right away for fear of him maybe transferring out, but I. And at the end of, like, I don't even see that, because I think we know, like, okay, you may have to sit a year, but then you're going to be the guy, like, he's going to be the guy when Miles leaves. And especially look at with the disaster that last season was, you got they were really young last year, but you got a little more experience now. But to me, you get a fifth year guy who did everything that was asked of him. Last year, like, he put up phenomenal stats. I don't see him falling. Like, I don't think he's gonna. I don't expect him to struggle. I think Max would be good running the offense, but I just think Miles Brennan is the best chance we have to win.
You know,
Miles Brennan got hurt in week 3 last year.
Yeah,
you know who led LSU in passing yards and touchdowns last year? Miles Brennan. Like, yeah. I mean, it's.
I thought you were going to say Bill Brasky.
Ryan Perilou.
You know, I really think if he hadn't gotten hurt, I mean, we would have won at least 2 to 3 more games.
Sure.
Because, I mean, you wasted some time, you know, with right, trying coming to figure right, out who the quarterback was going to be.
When the defense finally figured it out a little bit for a few games, we were stuck playing 2 freshmen.
And I think if he had gotten better last year and returned, I think he would have returned to the starting job. So it's difficult for me to put together why he wouldn't be able to return to the starting job this year. Having said that, I think that Orgeron's going to, I hope, go with the best player. I believe that's going to be Brennan. And if they're tied, I think you go with Brennan.
Go with the experience over the kind of the young guy. And, you know, Max Johnson, for having to come in as a freshman, and really it was almost like he didn't come in right away. You know, he had to wait a little bit, and to come in and to play as well as he did was obviously, you know, very good. And yeah, you know, once after this season, it's definitely his, you know, his job. I mean, well, you say that, you know, it depends on, you know,
I know we have Nussmeier coming in.
Yeah.
We're actually the good thing is we're actually bringing in highly recruited quarterbacks for a change.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's a good problem to have, but in today's, you know, NCAA college football, when they don't win the job, they get out of here. I mean, you saw that with Finley, and you may see it with Nussmeier too, because especially look, Johnson doesn't have, he can leave this year, but I mean, he's going to be head and shoulders the favorite to get the job for the next right. 2 years after that. So that's why I don't see him leaving.
And last year, you know, doesn't really count as far as your eligibility. So, I mean, he's a sophomore, but technically he's really a freshman this year.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he last year basically was a shit, you know, it didn't count. You get an extra year. So, you know, he could definitely come back and start for 3 years.
I bet his plan is to leave before that, but not, I mean, not in transfer, but he's
right.
He's hoping he's
a draft eligible. Yeah.
He's good enough. Yeah. Which, hey, if that's the case, then I'll sign me up.
And that's the other thing that kind of scares me. Like, if Max was to start this year, I think that Nussmeier might leave earlier. At least if he knows there's a competition between them two and then next year he can compete. I think that if he loses it 1 year at a time, that's fine. But if he lost it to Max right now and knows there's not even a chance next year, I think that's a tough pill to swallow.
Well, and then if Max wins the job, then Miles is probably going to transfer out of here real quick. And then you're left with Max and then Nussmeier, and that's it. And then you're kind of stuck if Max gets hurt.
Yeah. And then, you know, next year coming in, you got Jamie Howard's kid coming in, who's
Walker.
Yeah, Walker, who's pretty damn good. So
is he going to throw four picks against Auburn?
It's a five-star quarterback.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
legit really good. Huh. So, you know, he's going to push Max Johnson next year too to start.
Wow.
So, you know, with the transfer portal, you just never know. And I guess that's why they're kind of always recruiting, trying to get these top guys in here, because
you can't get caught with your pants down. You have to.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is these days.
You know, we have the whole offensive line coming back, which is good. Hopefully they can, you know,
protect. Except for Dari.
Yeah. Well, Rosenthal, yeah. You know, he transferred out, couldn't stay off the weed. I don't know.
Who
I don't
can?
Know what to say about that. Yeah. Right. I think he went to, what, Kentucky? Yeah.
Well, I mean, he can get a medical card now, right?
Definitely went to
Kentucky. I guess, in Louisiana. You know, if from what I've heard, I mean, LSU's pretty strict, I think, with the weed. You know,
of course they are.
They don't mind the sexual assault allegations.
right.
But the weed.
Smoke a little weed. Oh, now you're crossing the line, because no college person student smokes weed at all.
That's, right. But anyway, apparently they're pretty strict with that. So looking at, obviously we talked about first game of the season coming up.
Is UCLA the first game, or do we have
UCLA is the first game.
Wow. Okay.
September 4th
in Pasadena.
So I know we have Bouti coming back at receiver.
Yes.
And look, forgive me because I don't know a lot of the guys' names yet. You know, once I watch a game or two, usually that's how it works for me every season. I know a handful of guys. that were from last year, but other, like, who are other receivers still on the roster? Who do we expect? I know we've got some freshmen coming in at different positions, some at receiver, a couple of safeties coming in. I know we have a big transfer linebacker from Clemson. I'm kind of jumping at different positions, but I'm just trying to think like this. Sorry, I don't know a lot of the names of the guys coming in. So
you're Jontre Kirkland, Devontae Lee, and Coy Moore are
the receivers.
Jack Beck, they actually said today he was the number one wide receiver in high school last year in Louisiana. He is officially a tight end now.
Right. Okay.
He's put on some good size. They're super excited about him.
Okay.
Trey Palmer. Devonta Lee.
Okay. Jenkins.
Neighbors. Malik Neighbors was.
Okay. I mean, obviously there's a lot of talent. Let's just hope they can actually, you know, I mean, LSU's going to be loaded with talent.
Yeah. And then running back, you got Davis Price and Emery coming back. So they look pretty good at running back too. Okay.
Well, and you got Goodwin and Kiner.
Kiner.
Killer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I've heard Kiner.
Yeah, I guess. So how do you, there's a lot of, all the five-star freshmen coming in. How do you think, I mean, is Ogeron just going to be, hey, if you beat out the other guys in practice, you're going to get opportunities? Do you think we're actually going to get opportunities? Because he's definitely got to be feeling a little more pressure after the disaster that was last season.
Yeah, I mean, I think, he'll look at practice. I think he'll look at who's kind of got the hot hand too. And it also depend on, what team they're playing and what they are going to be doing offensively that week. If you're looking to maybe, throw the ball more to your running backs, you might start Emery or, Price, might be running through the tackles more. I almost think it's going to kind of be, they're going to rotate it, but I almost think it might be even week to week or series to series is just going with the hot hand.
I kind of wonder if last year is going to make him lean more into veterans than ever, because I think last year, the fact that we had to play so many freshmen who clearly were not ready for SEC football. I mean, those guys are top recruited guys that were, killed the country the previous year in high school. And then we got them into LSU and they looked like they didn't belong on the field. They looked like some undrafted rookies getting thrown into an NFL game a few times. I think that makes him lean more into his veterans and keeping these freshmen positive and walking them along and letting them know, hey, this is your experience. And then, like you said, getting them experience in the right games. Mm-hmm. But I think that against starting off the season and then against the big SEC rivals, I think he's going to lean on his veterans for sure.
Yeah. And, defensively, you kind of almost have to throw last year kind of away just because you've got, obviously the Pelini experiment didn't work. You got a new defensive coordinator, new, defensive line coaches, all this stuff coming in. I think defensively we're going to be pretty strong. I mean, you got Ricks and Stingley. I mean, best cornerbacks really in the league. Teams are not going to be able to throw against us. Jason, we can't hear you.
I muted myself. I was smart. Just forgot to unmute myself. Yeah, I think we have the best cornerback duo in the whole country.
And then Flott and Ward are not bad at all.
No.
They played well last year. I mean, a couple of times with an hour and a half notice that they were even starting. I mean, they were put in a tough situation, and it was easy to be mad at Flott a few times last year. But by the end of the year, he was looking really good.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew it was fucking Bo Pelini's fault. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it was, probably one of the worst defenses ever.
It was the worst defense we've ever had.
Ever.
Like, that was even worse than some of those Saints Rob Ryan defenses, and those were bad.
So, defensive speaking will be good. Special teams, Cade York, obviously one of the best kickers in the country. You're going to be looking well. Starting off, once you get, you get to UCLA, I think we're going to smoke UCLA. I really do. And then you got McNeese and Central Michigan to kind of figure out, if you got some holes, figure out where they are. You really just want to come out of those first three games, I think, injury free is, I think, is the big thing. Well,
and then we follow up with Mississippi State, who was pretty awful last year too.
That'd be our first SEC game. Mississippi State now Leach is there right now.
Yeah, they did beat us last year.
They beat us last year, but they really did. I think they went 3-7. I think.
Yeah, they did. We were the highlight of their season.
Right. So, you know, almost kind of a revenge game. And then you kind of really get into the meat of it with Auburn. And then you go Kentucky and then Florida. I could see that Kentucky game as being a trap game. I think Kentucky is going to be much improved. They played pretty well last year. And you got them sandwiched between Auburn and Florida. That's just one you really got to watch out for, I think.
What are our games in terms of home and away?
All right, so UCLA obviously is away.
It's on the road, right.
McNeese and Central Michigan are at home. Mississippi State is away. Auburn is at home.
Okay.
Kentucky is away. Florida is at home.
Okay.
And then you go Ole Miss away, Bama away, Arkansas at home, ULM at home, and Texas A&M at home. So
okay, yeah. So Bama's the only tough road game.
Yeah, Bama, Ole Miss. We should beat them.
Here's the thing. Like, if we end, which we do, I mean, we anticipate the defense to have a really strong season this year. If that's the case, they should be able to compete with anybody. So
we end the regular season with three straight home games. I mean, it's
that's nice.
Okay,
with Arkansas, ULM, and Texas A&M. You know, going by the top, you'll have a bye week before the Bama game, as usual. You know, your two toughest games really are going to be Auburn and Florida.
Yeah,
And they're both at home. So you can't really ask for anything better than that. I don't know. I don't know. You think they beat both Auburn and Florida? You think they split that?
I mean, how good's Auburn? I mean, I know Florida should be. How good's Auburn going to be? I mean,
they always play us tough, regardless of.
Yeah.
How good they are.
I guess I kind of figured LSU, I mean, should go. They should rebound and go at least 10-2. You know, I think, and that's kind of where I think the Miles Brennan thing comes into play, is because if you have an experienced quarterback, I mean, I say experience, he's only had three real starts, but that the calm, experienced guy is going to matter in certain games. And I do expect a massive rebound. So,
yeah, I think we'll probably
lose one of the Auburn and Florida games. You know, either or, and lose. I mean, I can't pick them to beat Alabama. I can't. I hope I'm proven wrong.
Just from what I've heard from people who have seen practice and been around the team, they seem more gelled, I think, than last year, especially defensively. More in sync. They know what they're doing. I think the leadership has really stepped up this year because they kind of know last year sucked and it's a make or break kind of year for a lot of them. And they just seem just more united than they were last year. And I think, you know, that's one thing Coach O said, was that when he interviewed the new coaches, he was talking to them and kind of trying to see it from a player's point of view as far as communication with things. You know, it's a different age. It's a different group of kids. You know, it's a different just generation. And you gotta have to know how to communicate to them and talk to them and get your point across to them without necessarily always getting in their face or doing whatever.
You kind of sound like what the Pelicans did, hiring Willie Green.
Yeah. You know, they went for youth. I think Coach O said the average age of their coaches is 50% less than it was last year, average age of coaches. So I definitely think they went with a youth thing. And just the way society is in general, you kind of have to handle these kids a bit more differently with kid gloves sometimes, you know. And that's just the way the football players are now. And if you lose the team because you're not handling that way, then you're screwed.
The one thing that I'll say, you can definitely see that Ogeron realized, like, he screwed up with the Pelini hire. He needed to turn that around and get back to winning football. So at least he's kind of looks like he's tackled that. He brought in Brady's two disciples to run the offense. He brought in a young defensive coordinator. I do like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And the good news is, I mean, with Orgeron, I mean, these guys can get well coached. He's a guy that's going to keep the players inspired by him. Like, he's somebody that has done a great job of people like to play for him. So again, if they can be well coached and we can win, I mean, he's not somebody that people are going to typically walk out on. I mean, he kind of talks people into running through a brick wall for him, not turning them off. And that's, you know, we've had coaches in the past that probably rub people the wrong way.
Yes.
Breaking news, Cam Thomas was drafted by the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep, 27th, first round.
There you go. Congratulations to Cam Thomas.
Congrats to him. Good luck playing with James Harden and Kyrie Irving. Have fun with that.
Have fun getting on the court.
Sorry, man.
And I think Will Wade was there. I think I saw a picture. He was with Cam Thomas at the draft. Yeah. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. A very, very contrasting suit game between the two of them.
I bet.
Did Adidas pay for Will and Cam to be there? Was there
somebody did?
Somebody did, yeah. Hey, some of that NIL money, right?
There you go.
Will's ahead of the game.
Yeah, right.
He definitely is.
Yeah, he knew it.
He
was
definitely
coming.
Is. So, we were kind of talking, I guess, before we started. Wes, you were talking about offensive lineman supposed to make a decision tomorrow what college he's going to.
Yeah. Not Emory Thomas. My mind just went blank with Emory Jones from in Baton Rouge. Is it Catholic High School? Big, huge guy that everybody believes he's going to choose LSU, but he's announced he was going to make his decision tomorrow.
And then today, LSU got a tight end, a four-star tight end, Jason Taylor's son.
Mason Taylor.
Mason.
Really? Of course he named him Mason. Of course he did.
It's kind of funny.
Of course he did.
So he's committed to LSU. Like you said, so we have 16 commits for 2022. 11 of them are 4 or 5 star.
11 of them are 4 or 5 star. That's big.
Strong. Yeah, that's strong.
So, you know, definitely another huge recruiting class coming in. You know, hopefully we have a good season and none of them decide to, I guess, to pull out or transfer out or whatever. And that, you know, Coach O, you know, sticks around for a while. Because, you know, he's definitely, you know, he knows he's got to win games. He knows he can't, you know, follow up a national championship season, go 6-6, and then, you know, follow up another turd. You know, he's got to produce a win. And I think he's got the right players. I think he's got the right coaches. I think he has the right mindset to have a winning season. Is it in a national championship season? Probably not, but stranger things have happened. You know, I don't think anybody thought that we would have had the best college football season in the history of college football a couple years ago when that season started. You know, there were a lot of questions about Burrow and just the team in general. And
yeah. And look, I know Alabama's, they're going to be there. You know, they're replacing, you know, a lot of guys left, and I know they have all the 4 and 5 stars to replace them, but still, these guys don't have the experience yet. This quarterback doesn't have a lot of experience yet. I mean, yeah, he's got all the tools and he's in the perfect, you know, Alabama just tends to churn these guys out. But, you know, there's a chance he could come out and he might suck a little bit. Who knows? So you never know. You never know. I mean, things could kind of work together. You know, last year was just so screwed up with COVID. And I know every team had to go through it. But, I mean, you had – you had COVID, plus you had all the defections that LSU had to deal with. Right. All the guys that left, the coaches that left.
It's almost like last year was just a throwaway year. Like, yeah. You can't even, like, if you took it out of the record books, I don't think anyone would.
Hey, I was just happy we beat Florida because some dude threw a shoe. I mean, to me, hey, we beat it. We, you know, we had some disaster games. I mean, the defense was a disaster, but then we had some fun wins. It's like, yeah, all right, you know, yeah, it is what it is. It's a I mean, last year was so fucked up anyway with COVID, and it was always going to be hard to whatever happened after how great 19 was. It was just impossible. So
yeah, you weren't going to live up to that. You just weren't. I mean, that was a once in a generation team, and
yeah,
you know, it was just a magical season, and hopefully we can replicate that in the next year or two. And
tying together that quarterback talk and the recruits talk, one of those 4-star recruits is Jake Johnson, the tight end, who is the brother of Max Johnson.
Max Johnson, yeah.
So kind of tying that together of talking about keeping Max Johnson and having having a future here. I mean, his brother is intending to come here and play with him.
Yeah. That's big. Do you ever watch, I don't know, this is kind of off topic, but it made me think, it's kind of is, but not, but Brad Johnson is their father, obviously. Have you ever watched his Twitter or Instagram and see his trick shots that he does?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
never.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. Like, he'll do a trick shot with basketball, and then he'll be across the court and throw a football and just swish like every freaking time. It's amazing.
Yeah, like someone like he knocked a coke can off the goalpost and
yeah,
like 30 yards out. It was just
seen them, go look at them. They're really good. Mm-hmm. They're really good.
Can he throw better than an Olympic archer can shoot though?
I don't know. You never know. Maybe he can. But all right. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. Do y'all have any final thoughts?
I tell you what, I'm really excited about the upcoming season. I definitely think they're going to rebound and it's going to be enjoyable. And we may need that with what's going on Airline Drive with the Saints, who could have a down season for a change. But I'm very excited about this LSU season. I think a lot of good things can happen. So yeah, it's nice to have football season back.
I agree. I'm very excited about this game. I think it's this season. I think it's a lot easier to turn around a 500 college football team than a pro team. And I think, you know, it's easy for us to make a lot of excuses for why last year happened and shouldn't have happened. But I mean, losing all the people we did in 19 and then losing your starting quarterback and then your two best receivers kind of quitting. I mean, it's it makes sense why what happened. It also can make a lot of sense of why we can rebound pretty quickly from it. And start off the season pretty hot, and then you never know what happens. You win your first 4 or 5 games of the season, and anything can happen as you start rolling.
And I hope is the stadium's going to be full.
I mean, it's supposed to be as of now. Who knows by the time we get to September? I mean, to be honest, see, their first home game is September 11th. Hopefully, we're still having full stadium. Yeah. I mean, it might be masks, you know, they might be saying you have to wear a mask to get in, but, you know, I guess with a mask is better than nobody being there, only having half capacity or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and at least Tiger Stadium's right. At least it's outdoors. That should help. It's not like the dome inside.
Yeah.
Cause I kind of have a feeling we're going to have to wear masks in the dome, but I think it'll be full.
I hope so. And, you know, that was another thing that I meant to bring up earlier and completely forgot. You know, Sankey, SEC commissioner, basically said, look, we're not rescheduling any games this year due to COVID.
Right.
If you have enough players, you're going to play. If you don't, you're going to forfeit. And I think that's an effort to get, obviously, to get teams vaccinated. I believe LSU was one of the 6 SEC teams that had over 80%. Vaccinations for the team. You know, the Delta variant, I mean, you could still get it, but it's not as bad, I guess.
You're not going to die from it if you've gotten vaccinated. Right. You may get it, but it's not right. I mean, most of the hospitalizations are all the unvaccinated.
You know, hopefully there's no games that are canceled this year or forfeited. But hey, if Bama wants to forfeit the game to us, I am all for it.
Can we find somebody to fly a plane and just drop a giant batch of COVID on Tuscaloosa?
We could do that. Anyway,
roll damn tide.
Go Tigers. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network. We only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which we will start doing after Saints games. The Don't Patrol podcast, the BSN Beer podcast, where you can hear Wes. The Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking It Over with Billy Gunn. And of course, this show, The Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at Don't Patrol UK, at BSN Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Don't Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen the old fashioned way, you can always go to DontPatrolPodcast.com. Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, tiger donkeys.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and stand right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown. Run up the score, make Mike the Tiger stand right up.